So, once again, good afternoon. I'm just going to get myself set up here. Love those two songs. Two of my favorite songs. It's so good to sing them. So let us pray once again. Heavenly Father, how good it is that you do hold us fast. So often we want to run, but you hold us fast to the cross. And we thank you, Lord, that you have bought us at a price, at the price of your Son, Jesus. And now we can say that we are children of God, that we are dearly beloved, that we are yours, that we belong to you. Thank you for your steadfast love. Thank you for your faithfulness. Just pray today as we once again dive into your word. Would you please illuminate? Would you please bring to life? Would you sharpen? Would you convict our hearts today from your word? Once again, may you get all of the glory. In your name, Jesus, I pray this. Amen. So we are going through a sermon series. We are in the third of a six-part sermon series, which is entitled Christ-Centered Relationships. Today, the title is Submitting to One Another. We are going through the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 32, all the way through chapter 5 until chapter 6, verse 9. And so in the first week, we looked at 4:32 to verse 5:2, looking about what it means to be imitators of God, and that in our relationships with one another, we should love each other and forgive each other as Christ has loved and forgiven us. And last week, if you were here, you remember, we looked at a call to holy living, that amongst us Christians, there should not be a hint of sexual immorality. We are to live pure lives in our relationships with each other. Today, we're continuing. We're just going to look at one verse, actually, today, Ephesians 5, verse 21. But I'm going to read to us Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 21 for the context of it. And so if you have a Bible, I invite you to open it up. Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 21, focusing on verse 21. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Now, you may have noticed that I'm reading from this cool big Bible today, not the leather one. And the reason for that is I wanted to read to us the ESV translation. So I do think on this case, on this verse, the ESV does a bit of a better job than the normal NIV that we read. But I'm going to give to you also the NIV translation of verse 21, which is, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Almost the same, but the point is, the NIV puts that verse separate. And the ESV sees it as a continuation from verse 15. So in Greek, actually, verse 15 to verse 21 is all just very long sentence. One very long sentence. And I think that it is important that we understand and see it in this way. Because our command, submitting to one another, is dependent on the verbs that have gone before. And so if we see verse 15 and verse 18, verse 15 says, look carefully then how you walk. So how are we to walk? We are to walk in submitting to one another. And most important, verse 18 says, but be filled with the Spirit. And then Paul gives four examples, four expressions of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You're singing to each other. You're giving thanks to each other, and are one, you are submitting to one another. And so what we look at today is a continuation of our relationships with one another and this very important general principle of submission, that in our relationships with one another, we are to submit to one another. In order to do that, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what Paul goes on to say in the rest of the verses, which we will look at in the next weeks, is what this principle of submission looks like in different kinds of relationships. So next week we will look at wives and husbands. The week after that, parents and children. The week after that, relationships in the workplace. But today we're going to take a real deep dive into this word submit, into this word submission, and what it means for us to submit to one another. So we'll be focusing very heavily on this word. Now, I think these are the two parts today, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So let's look at this first part, submitting to one another. I think it is important as we begin to acknowledge the difficulty that our society, and maybe you sitting here today, might have hearing this word to submit, submission. I want you to imagine that all of your colleagues, you get all of your colleagues together from work, or all of the students that are on your student campus, or all of your friends, your non-Christian friends from the gym or whatever, you gather them all together into a big room. And you say, we're going to have a talk. We're going to have one of those TED Talk style presentations. So everybody gathers. And everybody is seated, very quiet, getting ready for this 30-minute talk. And myself, if I'm brave enough, I come on, and this is going to be the topic of the talk today. The importance of submission. Submitting to one another. I have a suspicion this may cause some friction. This may cause some misunderstanding and some like, whoa, submission, submitting to one another. Society has a hard time with this word. And for some, in some cases, we can understand why. There is an element of understanding why some people may have a hard time and react to the word, because in some cultures, and for over a long history of time in some countries, there has been a history of people being forced to submit, of tyranny, of people's dignity being taken away under oppression. So they may react to the word to submit. Now, for the last 50 years, what has taken place in the West is quite different. Now, I often talk a little bit about culture, what is going on in culture at the moment, because, Christian, it is very important for you and me to have a clear understanding of the times that we are living in. It is no accident or coincidence that you have been born for this time, and you must be aware of the times that we are living in. They are very fragile, very challenging times. And so allow me to give you a very brief history of the last 50 years of what has taken place, because the gospel that our society here in the West will preach to us through radio stations, through movies, through music, is very different than the gospel of Christ. It is the gospel of self. That is the gospel that we're hearing all the time. Because from the 1970s, from a decade that has been called the me decade, up until now, self-improvement, self-development has been all of the rage. And so now, for many people, what is most important is that you look within yourself and that you find your inner child. You find the potential that is within you. So, for example, let me give you an example of a very popular Disney movie that is out now again for the kids. And so you may, if you have children, you may take your kids to it. It's called Wish. Now, I have not seen it, but like many of the movies that we see today, the underlying subtext of the movie is your destiny is within you. If you look within yourself, you will find who you are and your destiny. And so a society that is very concerned with the gospel of self will recoil at anything that talks about give up your rights, submit and put somebody else before yourself. That is the society that we live in today. So, little interesting fact for you. For me, it's interesting. Maybe also for yourself. When we look into the word submit, something you can do in Google, if you're interested in words, if you're interested in books, you can find out how often a word is used in books and literature, and you can find out the usage of this word throughout history. So, I put in submit. Now, submit is not a very common word, but it is used a little bit. It's not like the. That's really common. But submit is used a little bit. So from the 1700s to 1970, the word, the graph, looks like this. It's pretty much used more or less the same in books. But from the 1970s, when all the rage is self-development, self-improvement, the use of this word has dropped dramatically. The word has been cancelled. The word has been rejected and now almost never used in books. This is a word we don't like to hear very much at all. That is the cultural backdrop of this word. But it is incredibly important for you and I to understand what this word means, as it is key for our relationships for one another. Key, absolutely central. Let me give you a quote that I like from a Bible translator called John Phillips. And he says this. He says, the key to each relationship is submission. The kind of submission the Son yielded to the Father when he lived on earth as a man. That kind of submission, so often contrary to human nature, is an evidence of the filling of the Spirit. It is an evidence to it. So when we want to know what a word means, this word submit, which we're really getting into, what do? We open up our dictionaries, we open up the Webster dictionary, we open up the Oxford dictionary, and we look for a definition. So let me give you a definition of the word submit. From the Oxford English Dictionary, it says this: to submit, accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority or will of another person. The definition, the example that it gives is this: the original settlers were forced to submit to Bulgarian rule. That doesn't really sound like something we want to do. And that definition sums up this cultural mood that I've been trying to describe to you. Society has an idea of this word being someone superior is forcing someone inferior to submit. And so the person is saying, please, please, I don't want this, I don't want this. You will submit. The idea of tyranny is involved. Oppression is involved. How could it possibly be that we can joyfully submit with this definition? What I'd like to give to us is a biblical understanding of the meaning of the word, and how we see throughout Jesus' ministry, him submitting time and time again to earthly authorities, to his parents, to the will of his Father. So what submission means and what it doesn't mean. So, submission in Greek, the word submit in Greek, for you language enthusiasts, is huputasso. Now, I also found out what it means in German. And in German, it means unterordnen. And I like that translation, unterordnen. Because what it means is you are putting yourself under someone. You are subordinating yourself. You are coming under someone. And unterordnen is quite a good one. Unterordnen means you're organizing something, but you put yourself in a lower position. And the origins of the word have that in mind. The origin of submit comes from the military. So in the military, a lower ranking officer would come under the orders of a higher ranking officer. They would submit. They would come under. So let me also give you a few examples from Scripture of this word for us today. Three examples in Scripture. First of all, Luke 2, verse 51. So then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. This is the example of Jesus. So Jesus, his parents were looking for him when he was 12 years old, if you remember. But he was in the temple for 3 days. And when his parents finally found him, the text says, well, Jesus was obedient to them. He submitted to them. Jesus put himself under the earthly authority of his parents. Luke 10, verse 17 also gives us another example of the word. The 72 returned with joy. Those 72 disciples that Jesus had sent out on that mission to preach the gospel. And they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. They come under us. And then the last example, Romans 13, verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Now, I told you that the origin of the word comes from the military. Now, the body of Christ is not like the military, but there is something that a body and the military actually do have in common. So, the body cannot work independently of each other. Imagine, if you will, that the hand of somebody starts working independently of any brain signals that is being sent to them. So they're kind of walking around like this. And you're kind of, I'm sorry, but my hand is doing this all the time. I can't help it. They would look a bit funny. And it would look even funnier if other parts of the body, I'm not going to demonstrate this, all right, but just imagine if you can. If other parts of the body were to start moving independently of one another, you would think, that guy, what is that? It's not going well for that guy. Similarly, in an army, it does not work if each man in the army decides to fight for himself, right? The company is made up of individuals, but they cannot be individualistic in their outlook. They need to be able to come together and have a team attitude together. This is in line with what it means to submit. Submit is saying, not me. Not me first. You first. And the classic definition is the 8 words that Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. Not what I want, not my desires, but what you want, what your will is. That is also in line with Philippians 2, verse 3, which says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves. The heartbeat of it is thinking, not me first, not my needs, your needs, the church's needs. I put myself under. And all Christians are to live like this. Now, what submission doesn't mean? Now, whilst we are called to submit to one another, we cannot make the mistake of making this verse so absolute so as to abolish any ordered roles or established authority that God has put in there. Paul is not saying everybody is now the same, everybody's a hand, there is no roles, there is no distinction. That is not what Paul is saying, as he actually goes on to give examples of submission. So another example of this would be 1 Peter 5, verse 5, which says there is an established order. There is not an abolition of distinctions. So 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility. So whilst we are to submit, everybody is to clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. So another thing that submission is not, is that unlike that definition that we saw from the Oxford Dictionary, biblical submission is never forced. Biblical submission is not tyranny. Biblical submission is voluntary. I am giving up
my rights. I am putting myself under you, because the biblical idea of leadership is not tyranny. It's not self-assertiveness. I'm getting my way. I'm the leader. You will submit. It's not like that. We are to be servant leaders. Those who God has placed in the role of leadership are to be servants. So let me give you an example of this, actually. It's a very good example. If you know your kings, King David, King Solomon, and then Solomon's son, King Rehoboam. So what happened when Rehoboam took to the throne? Well, the whole of Israel came before him, and they said to him, please lessen this heavy workload that we have on ourselves. And Rehoboam went to his elders. He went to his older guys for advice. And they said to him, listen to your people. You will get loyalty from your people if you listen to them. But Rehoboam did not submit to that advice from his elders. Instead, he listened to his younger friends who said, make the conditions harder. So King Rehoboam, wanting to be the king, wanting to be the main man, became self-assertive and said, I'm making those conditions even harder. What was the result? The division of the north and south kingdoms. So the rest of his reign, King Rehoboam is basically living in continual conflict with each other. There is a difference, you see, between the idea sometimes we can have of leadership being tyrannical, but God-given authority. Like Jesus came to be served, not to be served, but to serve. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. Now, another thing that submission does not mean is this. It doesn't mean you have to agree or like everything in order to submit. Because then you are still retaining your own authority, right? So it could be that your boss or the government says something that you don't like so much, but we can only say, no, I'm not doing that, if they're calling us to do something which is disobeying to God. Because ultimately we submit to God. If the government or your boss says you need to do something that would be in stark contrast and would cause you to disobey God, yeah, sure. But otherwise, we are to submit. And I love this quote, what I'm going to give you, from Simon Gillam. He's an author and a pastor who says this. He says, it's not submission until you disagree. If you only ever submit to an authority that is telling you what you already want to do, you haven't submitted. You have retained your autonomy. You are the final authority. So that's what submission is. It is, at its very core, saying, not my will, but yours be done. I'm putting myself under you. It is not, I have to agree with everything or like everything in order to submit. It is voluntary. Now, that doesn't make it any easier. So how can we submit joyfully? Because that is something I don't think our society would comprehend, these two words together, joyful submission. I'm going to submit joyfully. But I do not think that Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, in his moment of agony on his knees, was saying, not my will, but yours be done, with teeth clenched, rolling his eyes. Yeah, all right, God, I'm going to do this. No, he wasn't doing it like that. How? How is it possible for us to submit with a joyful spirit? Well, verse 18 told us how. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is the only way that we can do it. That is the only way that we can say no to our flesh. Because my flesh is screaming out all day long, me, 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 me. So in order for me to say, not me, you first, I must be filled with his Holy Spirit. I must be surrendered to that. Let me remind you of this quote that I gave you earlier from John Phillips. I'll read it again. That kind of submission so often contrary to human nature, is an evidence of the Holy Spirit. And this is a Holy Spirit who himself willingly submits to the Father, a Holy Spirit who willingly submits to the Son and who guides you and me into this. And I'll tell you something from my own experience. There is joy. There is peace in saying, I don't know what's best for my life. In saying, despite everything looking a bit messy and some things in my life I don't like, still saying, but I obey you, God. Because I don't think that I have it all together and that I don't think I know what is best for my life. When that happens, I am telling you, there is genuine peace. You can genuinely breathe. Thank God. I do not have to pretend like I have it all together now. I can submit to what the Lord wants for my life, acknowledging He knows what is best. So pray. Pray for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, which will allow you to actually submit to one another. Now, I want to get practical. I want to get very practical and think through together, what is it actually going to look like for you and me to apply this verse? Because remember, we are to be doers of the word. Not just, this is a nice, very nice, but I'm just going to hear it. Well, how do I do that then? How do we actually submit? Now, this would be my prayer for you to actually bring before the Lord that question, because I am sure that He will answer it. But here are a couple of practical suggestions for you. First of all, and this I also speak personally for myself, put down your phone. It's a very simple one. Start putting down your phone and not retreating inwardly. When your needs and your desires and your wants start coming to the surface, your desire for comfort, put down the phone. Do not retreat inwardly, but ask a friend, ask your wife, ask your children, how are you doing? How are you doing instead of me, me, me? Choose to listen instead of being the first one to talk. You've got a lot going on, so is your friend. Choose to listen to them first instead. What submitting to one another may look like in regards to earthly authorities is simply paying your taxes. It may just be getting that, because we are to submit to government. It may mean in your job, you have a job, a boss you don't like. You don't like the work that's going on, but you still do the very best job that you can do. You do the very best job still that you are able to do. That's what it might look like for you and me. Now, the second part of our verse says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so if we're still kind of struggling, Paul actually gives us a motivating reason. Why should you submit to one another? You should do it out of reverence for Christ. You know what that word means, reverence? It does not mean respect. It does not mean, I'm going to take my hat off to you, Jesus. That was really cool, and I'm going to try to live a little bit better. No, it means holy fear. So actually, many translations of this word will actually say, submit to one another out of fear for Christ. Like trembling on the ground. Holy fear. In awe of what you have done for me, Jesus, I will submit. What Paul is saying is, remember your position in Christ. Friends, first bow to Jesus. That's what he's saying. Remember the fact that he bought you at a price, a very precious price, that you are a dearly loved child of God, and you're also a willing slave of His, no longer with entitled rights, no longer saying, I need to have better treatment than Jesus got. No. Ultimately, what this all comes down to is our willingness to submit to God. Ultimately. Because if our vertical submission is not in place, your willingness to submit to your friends, to other people will not be there. Your horizontal submission will not be there. So first comes the vertical, then the horizontal. And that's the same in our relationships. First, we submit to the Lord in purity, in sexual immorality, in self-control, in generosity. If you do that, you will see the impact in your relationships with others. So we submit to one another out of reverence for Jesus, in following the way of Jesus, as Jesus is our model of submission. Now, when you look at the book of John, when you really go through it, something that may stick out to you is the sheer amount of times that John, in his gospel, says verses like this one here. If we go on to the next part. Next one. John says this in John 6:38. For I have come, so these are Jesus' words. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Time and time again. In fact, here's a fun fact. 47 times in John's gospel, John shows his readers that Jesus was operating under God's orders. That he was doing only what his Father told him to do. Time and time again, we get this model of submission in our Savior Jesus. So let me think through with you at the very end. Jesus submitted. He submitted to his parents. We looked at the verse. He submitted to earthly, imperfect parents and was obedient to them all the time. He submitted to earthly authorities and he actually taught his disciples to do it. So the Pharisees, these guys who were trying to kill him, right? Who wanted to throw him off a cliff, who wanted to stone him, he told his disciples, do what the Pharisees tell you to do. Don't copy their actions, because those guys don't practice what they preach, but obey them. Do what they're telling you to. Remember when Jesus was going to be arrested by the Jewish leaders? The Jewish leaders came to him. And Peter gets out his sword, but Jesus says, no, put your sword away. I submit. Can you imagine that? He knew the suffering that was coming to him. But he still says, I submit. I give up my rights. Every step of the way, Jesus in his life submitted his will to the Father. And one of the most crucial parts is in that garden of Gethsemane, which I talked about, where he is facing the agony of knowing what is coming up for him. And he prays that prayer, right? If it's possible, may this cup be taken from me. But then 8 words which changed your life. 8 words which changed the world. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And because of that, you have the promise of eternal life. Because he submitted, you have the promise of it. You can be adopted into his family because of what Jesus has done. He is our model of submission. Let me ask you to close your eyes. Let me ask you to bow your head. And let me pray right now for us as we learn to submit to one another. Heavenly Father, Jesus, we come before you. And every step of the way, you taught us what it means to submit. You took on the role of a baby. You became a servant. You became a carpenter every step of the way. Sometimes we find submission so hard. Culture around us has such a wrong understanding of it. Would you teach us and show us what it is like to joyfully give up our rights and say, no, not me. And put ourselves under one another. You did it so often, Jesus. You did it when you washed the disciples' feet. Would you please help us and teach us to live like you? We need your help. We need to be filled with your Holy Spirit. So I pray for a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit for my brothers and sisters today, enabling us to live like this in our relationships with one another. To you be the glory, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.